some TV and radio shows have an element of social media. CNN and the BBC follow tweets and emails. But what if it was the reverse? What if TV was an element of a social media show?
Hi, I'm Derek Ashong. Welcome to The Stream. Today, we're looking at Libya in limbo. How will the country step into the future after more than 40 years of Muammar Gaddafi's rule?
A taste of the new Al Jazeera English show, The Stream, a self-described social media community with its own daily TV program, or, as a reader in Wired magazine put it, a modern Wayne's World. Well, it does have hosts in an orange couch and producers with laptops on air bringing up Twitter feeds, Facebook, Skype. But they cover everything from the death of Muammar Gaddafi to a debate in Australia over a possible carbon tax. Al Jazeera English launched The Stream last spring. It's based in D.C. And Derek Ashong, one of the guests, hosts, joins us from the NPR studios. Derek, welcome.
Great to be here with you, Robin.
Give us an example of how you've covered something maybe even before others have.
Oh, that's a great question, especially given what's happening right now in New York City. So the Occupy Wall Street protests began, I believe, on September 17th. We started covering it in August, about a month earlier, when we first saw online people buzzing about it, discussing it. So there you have an example where not only were we on the coverage when it happened, and I mean, I remember at one point we were seeing people making comments to the effect of, why is it that it takes a foreign news network to actually report what's happening on Wall Street? Why aren't American news networks taking it seriously? So in a nutshell, we source our content from the social media space, and we curate it to determine what we think our audience wants to hear, what they say they want to hear, and what we think they ought to know.
Well, you were also the first outlet, I think, to interview the man who tweeted about Osama bin Laden's death from Abbottabad.
Yes, and that was actually quite a trip because it was Monday. It was our first day on the air. Sunday night, Obama steps up to make this comment, and there was one Twitter personality, @reallyvirtual, who was in Abbottabad, who had basically live-tweeted what happened without knowing what it was he was live-tweeting. And so we got a hold of him. We had him on live via Skype before any other international network.
Well, we are complete fans of this process. We also used it during the Arab Spring to talk, you know, almost immediately with people who were tweeting. Another aspect of the show that's really kind of cool is how you also trace the life of a story in tweets. When Muammar Gaddafi was killed, for instance, here's producer Malika Bilal with the life of that tweeted story, how the hashtags, that's those little number signs that are attached to a word like Libya, how they, you know, could spread this story around the world. Let's listen.
As soon as the first news broke about the capture and subsequent killing of Gaddafi, several keywords began sprouting up across the net almost immediately. But the Libyan leader's name has circulated the farthest, with Twitter users from China and Australia to Russia and South Africa posting their thoughts using the hashtag Gaddafi.
Derek Ashong, again, the life of a tweet. But a couple questions for you. First of all, are you vetting these tweets as they fly? We know there have been a number of times when, you know, rumors were perpetuated. When Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords was shot, NPR tweeted something that they'd heard, and it turned out to be a rumor. It was a rumor that she had died. She hadn't. But that was picked up by other news agencies. So how are you, since you're doing this all on the fly, how are you avoiding that?
It's tough, and it's so interesting that you bring up that example, because I was on the air. I was actually hosting a show for Oprah Radio when that happened, and we actually reported on the air that NPR had confirmed that she was dead, and then we retracted it. And I think it's something that journalists in general always have to deal with. You have to deal with the question of verification and the accuracy of the information that you're presenting to your audience. And I'll tell you a couple of ways in which we approach that, one of which is you actually look to the community, because the community tends to be self-vetting. There was a story of a gay girl in Damascus.
Yeah.
She had said that, oh, the security forces had come and picked her up and created this international outcry for her to be released. And somebody said, hey, I think that this is not accurate. I think there's something wrong with this character. Come to find out that she was a young American man who was trying to build his name as a writer, and he had fabricated the identity. So part of what happens is that the community vets itself. Another thing that we do in The Stream, we don't think that just because something's being said on social media, we've got to get to it first. The reality is we take our time and vet it, check, cross-check, reference, contact the people who are saying it, and then we present it. But the reason why we seem to be on top of stories is because The reality is we're typically looking at a story that the mainstream news media isn't even interested in until potentially weeks after we've already covered it.
Tell us something about Al Jazeera, because as you know, in this country in particular, there was concerns that Al Jazeera was going to be, anti-American. It was going to have an anti-American bias. And we remember when Dave Marish, veteran ABC correspondent, resigned as Washington anchor for Al Jazeera English in 2008. He cited this, reflexive adversarial editorial stance against Americans. Now, he later defended Al Jazeera English. And also, when the Arab Spring hit, the channel drew plaudits because of its incredible access and coverage. So what do you feel there? Do you feel sort of pressure to have an anti-American slant on what is, you do international coverage, but what's your feeling?
When it comes to the United States, I think part of what people perceive with Al Jazeera is the lack of an editorial bent in favor of the United States, right? So yes, myself and Ahmed, two of the hosts of the stream, are Americans. Obviously, we bring a certain degree of an American perspective to what we do, but we're also international citizens. We've both grown up around the world. We both speak multiple languages, and we realize why people see things differently overseas sometimes and why it's important for American audiences as well to know that.
Well, you certainly have the resume for it. You were born in Ghana, went to school in Saudi Arabia, Qatar.
And Flatbush. Got to rep Brooklyn.
Okay. And then Harvard.
No doubt.
So you certainly have been around. But Al Jazeera English is not. We know that you can get it in Bristol County, Rhode Island, Toledo and Sandusky, Ohio, Burlington, Vermont, Houston, Texas, D.C., and I think places in New York.
New York City.
New York City. So is this social media show, in fact, a way to do a show when you're not on cable everywhere? You're on social media.
You know, we find that a majority of our online audience is in the U.S., and I think part of that goes to the need and the interest in having this perspective. You know, yes, there has been this perspective that, oh, Al Jazeera is anti-American. But what I think people find when they connect to Al Jazeera English, when they connect to the stream, is that, wait a minute, these guys are really interested in getting at the story, and they talk about important stuff. They're really talking about what is happening with young people in Macedonia, what's going on with student protests in Chile, what is happening with police brutality in the United States, or with the shutting down of the mobile internet in the San Francisco Bay. And we provide a perspective that hopefully opens people's minds.
You're talking about, when you mentioned San Francisco, just a shout out to say you're talking about the protest in the transit stations there and how they shut down the social media there. That's Derek Ashang, one of the hosts of Al Jazeera English's social media show, The Stream. Derek, thanks so much for speaking with us about it, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back in 1 minute with questions for the cook. Brine, not to brine. What's the difference between free-range, organic, talking turkey in 1 minute, here and now.